Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, and welcome to episode 18 of Rhythm and Wit, the podcast and video series where we discuss and explore the creative and artistic expressions of artists and performers in Oklahoma City and its neighboring cities, also referred to as the Greater Metro Area. My name is David Steele. I am a bass player, a music producer, a graphic designer, a photographer, and a film hobbyist. My co-host is Nicholas Campbell. Nick is a stand-up comedian, a singer, songwriter, guitar player, electrical contractor, a husband, a father, and my best friend for over 20 years. In today's episode, we welcome music blogger and journalist Kenna Attaway. Kenna is the newest member of the Rhythm and Wit team, so we wanted to have her on the show and ask her about being a music journalist, what some of her favorite music is, how she reviews concerts, and what publications she is currently involved with. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel and podcast feeds to keep up with new episodes that drop every Friday. We hope you enjoy today's episode and my conversation with Kenna, as we greatly appreciate your time and attention. We do this thing. I have Nick do it. Here he goes. 5, 4, 3, 2. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Rhythm and Wit. My name is David Steele, and with me is...
Kenna Attaway.
Today, we like to welcome our special guest, Kenna Attaway. Kenna, thank you for being here. You're going to start working for Rhythm and Wit as a music correspondent / reporter / reviewer or whatever. So we're really excited to have you on for the team for 2024. So I just wanted to have you on the episode and introduce you to the people. And so, yeah, hopefully we'll have some more music related things in the future, but for today I just wanted to kind of ask you a little bit about yourself and your background or your skills in journalism. But how are you today?
I'm good. I've had a pretty chaotic day, but yeah. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. So yeah, thank you for coming, even though it's a little later than normal. So I don't know, I guess I just can start out with some kind of questions that I had for you. You are specifically music journalism. Is that what you're focused on? Is that right? I mean, that's what you want to do.
Yeah, so that's what I want to do. But I also do political journalism as well.
Cool.
So when I was at OCCC, I would cover like local politics, federal politics, and then world politics as well.
Cool.
So
that was for the paper there?
Yes, that was for the student newspaper, the Pioneer there. And then I also, but my main focus there was music journalism, so like concert reviews, reviews with local artists. I also did like arts and entertainment, so I went to like Plaza Fest and things like that.
Yeah, and did reviews of that nature, which is exactly why I asked you to come here. Because,
yeah.
I mean, that's the music specifically, because I feel like I'm, you know, I just, the music scene is, I keep saying it's been, feels like it's fragmented and spread out, and it's like, I just don't know who's doing what anymore. So it feels like you're a little bit more plugged into the scene. So
100%.
Yeah, I was happy that you responded and wanted to come work with us.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're also a blogger. You have a blog mm-hmm. that you write with. Do you want to shout out? Where can people find that?
So I don't have like a domain name because it costs a lot of money to
right.
do that. But if you follow my Instagram at Kattaway, KATTAWAY,
mm-hmm.
There's a link in my
bio.
So mm-hmm.
yeah. I was looking at it a little bit today. You had some interviews. Who is your favorite person that you've interviewed?
Ooh. Probably Gavin Taylor. He gave me like an hour-long interview, so there's like a lot to work with. And he just has like such an amazing way of putting thoughts into words.
Mm.
And so he uses like these beautiful metaphors mm-hmm. to describe his music. So he was really cool. And we met each other on a film set, actually.
Oh,
so,
okay. So that's
and then
how
he's
you
like,
connected.
Please interview me. Like, absolutely. Of course.
Yeah.
So that was
great.
Really cool.
Yeah, and that's something that I noticed about you. It's like nobody's really doing interviews or even album reviews these days. So I was happy to find someone out there that is doing that and doing that work. And hopefully more people will continue to do that. I think that 2024 is going to be better year than 2023 was for music here, I think. I hope.
I agree.
So yeah, that's who you are. What I had a question, like, when did you first become interested in journalism, or like what kind of inspired you to start on that path?
So it kind of started in high school when I did media. So I was doing like video journalism mm-hmm. is the best way I can describe it. And then I was like, well, I like filming and all of that, so I'm going to go into the film industry.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to CU Boulder for that. And then I was a minor in journalism at CU Boulder.
Okay.
And then I had to leave CU Boulder. Ended up being $30,000 in debt. Had to move back.
Yeah.
I was a double major at OCCC with film and journalism
mm-hmm.
the semester before. And then I hated it. Like, I hated the film program so much, and I won't get into that. I ended up absolutely loving the journalism program.
Stuff. So. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's good that you get to try it, though, because, like, I mean, I always say that, like, for young people especially, like, my advice for, like, even my nieces and stuff, they're like, you know, I have a niece that's 19. I'm just like, just try everything. Just do everything that you're interested in and try it. See if you don't like it, don't keep doing it.
Exactly.
But go towards the things that that do hold your interest, because that's where you're going to find the most joy as a career, especially.
So, I completely agree.
But yeah, that's good. I took some classes at OCCC for film, which I loved it, but I obviously didn't finish, so there was parts that I didn't like too. And I think it's more so just the industry as a whole wasn't really, I think, the right place that I wanted to be in that industry. But I do love film and, you know, cameras and editing and everything else that goes into filmmaking. I'd like to, you know, work on short films or something like that. It's like a more of a hobby type deal. It'd be fun, but maybe one day, because Nick and I have talked about doing some skits, like video.
That would be fun.
Stuff. So, yeah, maybe. I don't know. Do you do? I guess I can jump around because you're a writer. I mean, you write articles, and do you write any kind of like fiction or any of that? Writing.
I don't. I took a creative writing class. So I did start at OCCC back in high school. I did concurrent.
Yeah.
I took a creative writing class and I sucked at it.
Yeah.
I was so bad. And like, I have, I would say, a good imagination. Mm-hmm. It's just hard putting that imagination into words.
Yeah, it's like writing a novel or anything like that. It's probably just, I don't know. It's like, I think it takes a certain type of creativity for that, probably.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
And dedication, too, I think. But even, I think maybe the ways people, writers like that, their minds maybe work a little bit different than a lot of other people. I don't know. Because that's something I, when I was little, I loved writing, like, short stories and stuff. And I think it was just me expressing my imagination in that way. But yeah, I've always, and that's something I was, you know, I I've always been interested in journalism to a degree too. Just, I mean, I work for the news, but even though I don't actually do anything, I mean, as far as the journalistic side, I'm just a graphic artist, so I just help them with whatever they need as far as that, the graphical side goes. But I don't know, something I think probably drew me towards that, because I like I read a lot of news, since like I like reading like well-written articles and stuff. Do you have like any favorite journalists or anyone like that that you admire or look up to?
My aunt is an award-winning journalist, cool. And she was kind of like the push forward into journalism for me. Mm-hmm. She works in New York City.
Mm. Does she work for a paper or something?
Oh, she works for she works for a TV station.
Okay.
So, but it's in New York City, but it's for New Jersey. All right.
Okay. So it's probably more like a local thing. Maybe. Yeah.
And she does investigative journalism, so that's always really interesting.
Is that something that you want to try to get into or something? Would you like to be on the news? Is that a dream of yours at all?
Not necessarily. Not in that way. Yeah. I really felt, because I am I graduated OCCC this December, so I am a journalism and broadcasting emphasis major, and so they didn't have enough broadcasting courses for me to want to do broadcasting, if that makes sense. They only had like one
there's
with
probably,
cameras.
Yeah, like not a real big taste of it that you could get. But there's definitely, if you are interested in that, I mean, I worked for Channel 4 for 8 years, and there's definitely plenty of opportunities for especially young girls to go in to get started on camera there. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're always getting new people I see, you know. And then I think it's a good, be a good thing to get into. You might have to get up real early, like I do, which I'm sure you're familiar with. With any kind of journalism, it's probably
it's a 24-hour.
Yeah. I mean, yes, I do work the morning shift, and it's like I see those guys, they're running around the city, you know, chasing fires and whatever's going on at 3 a.m. too. So and I know that you're currently working with some publications. Could you tell us what any or who you're working for right now?
Freelance currently for Make Oklahoma Weirder. Mm-hmm. I am currently writing an article for them, so I am very happy with that opportunity.
Yeah.
I really like Jarvix a lot, who runs it, and he has been honestly just like such an amazing mentor towards me.
Yeah,
and
that's
so
great.
I'm like super appreciative that I was given that opportunity, and I've just been rolling with that. And then I have a internship possibly at the Gailey coming up. So getting that solidified soon. So,
yeah, that's, I know that a lot of any writers or freelance writers that I've known, is they always work all over the place.
Yeah.
Which is good. I mean, you have to do it, but there are opportunities here for that. So
yeah.
That's good that you're already getting connected and plugged into those, especially with Jarvix, because that's exactly where you want to be if you're interested in music.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's cool. So what's, because you do album reviews, right? Like, would you say you're a critic at all, or you just, how do you, what's your review process, or how do you think about reviews?
I try not to criticize, because I think everyone's art is like, has their its own meaning, and like that meaning is important to the artist, so who am I to criticize, especially as someone who doesn't even create music.
Right.
Like, I have no place to criticize how someone does their art.
It's because I guess that's a good distinction, because I mean, I always think of critics, I mean, obviously most people probably think of that, or like reviews are like album music critic or film critic, because it's like I love film, so I'm always watching reviews of movies. But you're right, it's like there's so many people that don't make movies that talk about these movies, how they did this wrong or whatever. I don't know, but you're right about art. It's all subjective anyways. It's like, just because if you gave it a bad review and I loved it, it's like, you know, we're both right. You know, it's,
yeah,
so it's that's a tricky thing. But so do you kind of So what is your process, or how do you think about writing a review for an album? So you had an album, and do you just kind of talk about the different songs, or what is...
So I've only have done one album mm-hmm. review, and it's the one I'm working for Make Oklahoma mm-hmm. Weirder. I'm on my second draft of mm-hmm. it. So I've just been getting, I've never done one, so I've been getting a lot of feedback from Jarvix and everything, which has been super duper helpful. Mm-hmm. But when I do concert reviews, really like to focus on telling a story.
Okay.
Instead of like just stating the facts. Mm-hmm. I wanna like immerse the reader into the concert with me. With the album review I'm working on right now, I have been analyzing like what instruments are in what song, and like what instruments are not in the song, and mm-hmm. why is that, and like what is the meaning of the song, and like how I interpret the song. And watching the music videos is super helpful mm-hmm. too, because that gives you like a grasp.
Yeah,
and, like,
you can kind of get a visual or get another idea of what the artists are going for.
Yeah, and then like the artist I'm writing a review on right now, like I just DM'd her on Instagram, and I was like, I just have like 30 questions about your album mm-hmm. or your EP, and like most artists are super willing to like give answers. Like they're excited to talk about their art, and mm-hmm. I think that's amazing. So. Yeah, I just like getting the basics down and then like going from there.
So what's like, you obviously want to be involved with music. Like, what's your favorite genre of music, or like any, like, I don't know, I guess maybe that might be a hard question to answer, because it's like I can't really answer that even for myself. But what about like a favorite artist or someone? Is there anyone that like is your top favorite famous artist?
Definitely Poppy.
Yeah,
she has been in my top like Spotify Wrapped for the past like two years now. I've seen her in concert twice. I saw her open for Smashing Pumpkins and Jane's Addiction in Denver, and then I saw her like end the concert with Paris and Pom Pom Squad this year.
Cool.
So at the Tower, which is amazing.
Yeah, Tower Theater is fun. That's cool. So what kind of music is that? I'm not familiar with the artist.
She does like, she dabbles in a lot of different genres, but I would say pop, metal. I am mine and you are mine and I am not yours. I can drive a manual, flip it in reverse, stutter, shutter, shift and butter, watch you come.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
interesting.
It's the best way I can describe it.
That's cool. Interesting. I'll have to check it out for sure, because I'm not familiar. But just like I said, you could tell me probably so much more about music in a weird way.
to a lot of like
more modern stuff, I guess, maybe.
Yeah.
Or just stuff that it's like I said, I listen to a lot of new stuff, or as much new stuff as I can. I love Spotify for that reason.
Oh yeah, Spotify.
Because
stuff.
It's so easy; they can just kick you new stuff every day if you know, and it just one click of the button, and you have a whole playlist of mm-hmm. stuff that is already geared toward your interests. So, I like doing that, and I've been doing that for like maybe 6 years or 7 years or something. And it's just like I have like this playlist that's probably, you know, 1,000 songs of just stuff I've only listened to, you know, since I started using Spotify, and just trying to discover new stuff. But I like a lot of indie rock kind of type stuff, but a little bit of pop. I mean, I like that kind of like Tennis, the band that
I love Tennis.
We were both at that same concert at the Tower. That they're one of my top bands that I've discovered, you know, and they're fairly new. I guess they've had maybe 3 or 4 albums, but
I think their oldest album is 2013.
Yeah, so they have about 10 years, but you know, more recent band, because it's like my favorite bands are all from like the early 2000s, but that's when you grow up. Those are kind of the ones that stick with you usually. I don't know. I was curious about that, because I mean, it's always interesting to ask people what kind of music they like. I mean, especially as a musician. Have you ever tried, like, been interested in playing music or doing anything like that?
Yeah. So I did musical theater for most of my childhood. And so I can kind of sing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say I'm a good singer, but I can sing.
Probably better than me.
Can carry a tune. And then I really wanted to pick up guitar because my dad plays like guitar, ukulele, banjo, all of that. And he tried to teach me, and I was in fifth grade, and I got blisters on my thumbs, and I was like, enough is enough. Yeah. So I haven't tried really.
You could
it up since.
Maybe go back though. It's a little too late, because especially if you've got somebody that can teach you and help you with that.
100%, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he has like 6 guitars.
Yeah.
I know he wouldn't mind letting me borrow one.
Yeah, so. All the gear is already there, so. That's cool. But yeah, it's like a lot of people, I don't know. I mean, but I know a lot of people that are just avid music fans, like music lovers, like music is their life, and it's like they don't play or never try. It's like, why not? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not. I think a lot of people think that they can't for some reason, but it's, you know, anybody can learn anything. I mean, even me as a, like, I'm not a singer. I say this a lot because I wish I was. Not to say that I couldn't either, but I think that I don't like it enough to practice and get better at it. And I think that I feel like I'm starting at a lower, like I have a hard time, you know, registering my own voice and, and controlling the pitch. And so I don't know, I've tried, and it's just like, I don't have the patience to put into it at this point. I'd rather meet, you know, there are tons and tons of singers out there that are already brilliant, so I'll just bring them here. Because I like recording voices a lot, like for music, and playing with like harmonies and blending those and stuff like that. But so that, if for that reason, I would love to be able to do that. But I mean, like I said, there's plenty of singers that are out there that need my help as far as like recording. You know, it's like I have that skill, so we can hopefully
collaborate.
That's what something I want to do. Maybe this year I want to try to get together, like just kind of assorted musicians and kind of put together maybe like an EP or something, or maybe even one song, and just I don't know, get a bunch of people in here and create something weird and I don't know, cool, and just not charge, because it's like I want to work with other artists, but it's like I don't really want to become a recording studio. I just like recording my bands and maybe some friends or whatever, but it would be fun to just get to work with people like that.
So are you just installing cable, or do you do...
Yeah, currently. I mean, well, I'm not even in that band, really. I mean, that band isn't really a band right now, or on hiatus, but that's my only current project. I had another project that with a piano player that we were starting up, and then some things came up, and it's not the right time for her to get that started, but that was getting close, and she's a brilliant songwriter, so I hope that we get to come back and revisit that maybe later this year or something like that. But yeah, Stolen Cable will return in I think August of this year, so
hell yeah.
And we're recording, because Josh was just here earlier, and recording like 5 of the new songs that we learned for the show. Recorded all the guitar and most of the vocals in like 2 days, so
that's amazing.
Which he was prepared for it, like the rest of us is probably gonna take some time, you know. Like I'll probably not have my stuff done for like a few weeks, you know, just because I'm still gonna tweak some stuff, but he was prepared for it, so I mean he came in and knocked it out, which all the guys in that band do. I mean, it's that's why I like working with them, and why we were able to do an 11 song album, or no, it's like 13, I think it's whatever, huge amount of songs, and it's like that's the only time I've ever done anything like that. And it's just like I've only done 4 song EPs or whatever singles, and it's just like I was just afraid just because I've known how some of those EPs have gone in the past. And it's like, man, I can't do that many. But working with those guys was so easy as far as just coming in and getting it done. So yeah, we're going to have a 5-song EP hopefully in the next few months. And so at least get to release that and kind of keep the momentum going a little bit, I think.
How long have you been playing bass for?
I've been playing bass for, let me think, I was 17, so I think 18 years, something like that, if my math is right. Anyways, yeah, a long time. But I tell people that too, but I took like 5 years where I didn't play hardly at all. But I mean, I got back into it maybe in 2017, 18, and I've been really serious since then, for sure. And it's like I've grown so much as a bass player in that time. Like the first half of my bass playing career was, you know, the early days and trying to figure it all out. And now it's, I don't know, I feel like it's, I always feel like I'm pushing myself too and getting better, especially playing with the piano player that we were playing with. You know, her songs were very much slower, much different than what I, you know, the rock stuff that I'm used to. So I think playing with other people has always kind of helped you expand and get better. Because I played with her for, you know, a few months, and then we came back to Stolen Cable, and I kind of started looking at the songs differently and playing them a little bit differently. And it's like, and I can even play some of the older stuff a little bit better, you know, doing cooler stuff. I don't know. But I'm always kind of pushing myself in that way as far as like the creativity is what I love about it. It's just being free to move around how you want. Like, I hate playing covers. I've never been a cover song person, so as soon as I was able to write my own stuff, I never went back. Let's see. I have one question. I guess I wanted to ask you, like, what's the most exciting musical act in the city, in your opinion, right now?
That's really hard.
Like, who's maybe one or two, even if you can't choose one. Like, who pops in your head immediately?
Definitely Stepmom.
Yeah.
They are really with it as mm-hmm. a band. And
yeah, they've been doing it for a while, too.
Yeah, and they're very, like, organized and super professional. Mm-hmm. They're amazing. And Lindsay, the lead singer, I've interviewed her several times, yeah. And she's just, like, such an amazing activist and person, and, like, I discovered her during Norman Music Fest, mm-hmm. and so I really like Stepmom a lot. I recently went to, like, S. Reedy's wife's tea party. I love you!
Oh, was that last Friday?
Yes, at Resonant Head.
I was going to go, and I really I was, like, dead set on going. And I was here and getting ready for the party all day and just wore myself out. And it was about, like, I was like, I can't. And if I went, I would have been even more exhausted for the party. But so how was that? I'm glad that you got to go.
It was a lot of fun. And I'm friends with S. Reedy. Yeah. And, like, I've gone to many of his shows. Mm-hmm. But I think my favorite act of the night was actually Jarvik. I had never seen him do music before. Mm-hmm. And it was the way that he does it is so interesting, mm-hmm. because, like, he builds the song as he goes along. Have you seen
him? Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah. I've seen him a long time ago for the first time, and he used to do a lot of that stuff. And I think that he's kind of slowed down as far as performing at all. So, I mean, it's probably rare because I haven't seen him do that in a long time. The only time I'd seen him at Factory Obscura.
From whence it comes.
just do a ukulele and just sing a song, which is really good, but it's he didn't do all the loops and all that stuff. Did he do like a sample, like he'll take somebody's phone and take something and turn it into a part of the song?
Yes, it was so cool.
Very talented.
I don't know even how to describe his music. Like, it's just so interesting. And, like, I feel like he could 100% be, like, a children's, like, song artist or something like that.
Like, there's a band, the Sugar Free All Stars. Do you know who they are? They're a local band. And there's, I think it's, like, maybe two guys that do it. But that's what they do. They're a kids band. and they're, like, I mean, they're probably my age or older. And, like, they're... And they probably, you know, grew up playing rock music and stuff too, but it's like now they have like songs about monster trucks and stuff.
1, 2, 3! Monster truck, monster truck, monster truck, monster truck, monster truck, monster truck.
And they play at like kids' parks, you know, whatever, any kind of family event.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah, but he could definitely get into that, I'm sure.
Yeah,
too, if you want.
Because Only Fish is like, it gave me very much like Curious George, Jack Johnson vibes.
Like kind of whimsical and very like dreamy.
Yeah, 100%. And I've seen one kids band in concert. I saw Cuckoo Kangaroo.
Oh,
I've ever heard of them. Nah. My mom's a kindergarten teacher, and she took me.
Yeah,
but
that's probably a similar thing to that. Like I said, Sugar Free All Stars, which is I think is cool. Like I don't know. I think maybe if I have kids one day, like that would be appealing to me. But I don't know that. I mean, but it's a great way to stay employed because it's like, why not? I mean, you know, I think kids probably are so much more appreciative of music. Like, you could have every kid on the playground just obsessed with you, whereas like playing our original music, it's like begging people to pay attention. So who are the other artists there? Were they? I wasn't familiar with the other two female artists. I think they had.
X-Ray was really good. She put on such an amazing show. Like she had backup dancers and everything. She was amazing. Like a great stage presence. Honestly, everyone had such an amazing stage presence. Like the crowd could feel the vibe and like go with the vibe. And then the first singer. Oh, I forget her name.
It was like Elise or something, or
yes.
It was,
she, not X-Ray, the first singer does R&B in her voice.
You ever like a man so much, you put your line no more questions, like where you at, who you wear, why'd you like a pick, did you like my pick first?
She was amazing. And like she like had everyone starstruck. Like she was stunning. She knew how to like move the crowd with her voice. Like she knew what was up. And I loved every second.
Like I said, I was interested to check those people out because I'd seen Jarvix and stuff, but I'm always interested in those people. It's like, well, I've never heard of this person. It's like I need to check them out because you never know. And like people like that, it's like she, you know, I wish I, for that reason, it's like I wish I would have been able to go because it's like I'd like to meet some. I always want to meet musicians. That's kind of why like I hang out a lot of open mics that are usually comedians, and obviously Nick's a comedian, and I've gotten into that that community, and it's really cool. A lot of nice people in there. But it's like, I'm always looking for, it's like, okay, you're a comedian. Do you play guitar, though, too? Or, you know, it's like, what else do you do? Because I'm, you know, I'm always looking for people to play music. So, but yeah, that's kind of what I, for those types of shows, it's cool to meet new artists and discover somebody new. So I think a lot of people are kind of coming out of, I just always think of, like, you see, like, an incredible singer like that, and you're like, where'd you come from? It's like, no, they've been here the whole time.
Yeah.
But it's just, maybe they're, you know, only now getting out into the public and actually performing, so. But, yeah. So that's cool. I'm glad you got to go to that show. I still haven't been to Resonant Head. I need to go out there soon. Well, I'm sure there will be some good shows that we could check out soon. So I have some. Oh, I have one question about, like, what kind of other skills do you have or you try to cultivate outside of, like, journalism and things like that? Or do you have any hobbies or other interests that you're maybe interested in learning more about? Like, I don't know, like, 'cause you said earlier, like, film, obviously that's not one, but anything like that?
I crochet. Yeah. That's pretty much it.
That's cool.
I like crocheting.
Does that kind of like help you like meditate or kind of clear your mind?
100%. And I'll get into like bouts where I don't do it for like months on end, and then I'll just have like inspiration one day and I'm like, I have to do it.
Yeah.
And then I do it for like a week and then I tire myself out. But I love doing that.
Cool. Yeah, I think that stuff is important for, like, I always talk about this. My mom is not, she'd always, you know, my dad plays guitar and he's pretty creative. I think, you know, I'm sure he like would teach me like how to draw or something, you know, like he used to draw a little bit, but anyways, my mom would always say she's not creative at all and stuff like that, but she knits and crochets and stuff like that's like you're creating something when you're doing that. But yeah, but you could always turn that into like an art, or you could even, if you wanted to, like knit stuff for Etsy or something like that. I don't know, it'd be a cool thing to get into maybe.
Yeah, I used to sell my work like on Instagram and everything.
Yeah.
And then when I made it a job is when I started hating it.
Yeah, exactly.
So
kind of have to find that line. I think that's a lot of people probably run into that with hobbies. It's like, okay, I want to turn this into a career, and then it becomes something different or not what you expected.
Yeah.
But that's good. Yeah, I think that's good to have something like that, especially like for mental health, even just
100%.
Just to kind of put your mind somewhere else and just relax it a little bit in a way. That's cool. Okay, so I have a couple of questions, a little bit more maybe thought-provoking, I don't know, but why do you feel it's important to review concerts and interview artists and put in this work to this thing? Like, what is it that you think it's valuable to the community or what?
I think interviewing artists is like concert reviews, I do them just because they're fun and like I like that kind of gonzo style moment. But I think album reviews and interviewing artists are like very crucial to keep the music scene alive. I think artists don't necessarily, like, some love to promote themselves and some do not, and it's like impossible for them to even like think about promoting themselves, and like me giving them a platform I think is super important. I've interviewed a lot of ACM students, which I think is really cool, just because, like, they're learning music, and so they have a completely, like, different perspective than someone who's been doing it for years on end. And, I just think giving a voice to people who wouldn't necessarily have their own voice is super important.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Actually, I think you're right. I think definitely about musicians in particular, but lots of creative people have, a lot of us are introverted, and kind of that's why we turn to art, because we have, I know I in particular, like, I've always struggled with expressing myself with words, so like then I turn towards music, and you can express feeling and emotion without words and through a totally weird creative way. But certainly with visual artists, I know lots of visual artists, and they're very, very introverted and very, like, you know, like you said, they don't talk about their art or whatever. It's hard for them to self-promote. But I like that answer a lot, and I think that's kind of a part of my mission, too. I mean, a little bit is to showcase, you know, the talented people that we have that people might not know about, and bring them on and talk to them about what they're doing, because I think that it's definitely important to to do something, because I just think this city is struggling with creativity in some cases, specifically music. I mean, there's lots of creativity here for sure, lots of art, and like I said, the comedy scene is thriving, I feel like, in some ways. But music is a little bit of a struggle. So hopefully, working together, we can make it better, because I think that's the only thing you can do, right? I mean, try to improve your surroundings if you're not happy with them. But I like the answer a lot. Okay, this is my last question. I always end my interviews with this question, but what is the biggest challenge that you and your peers or people like in other journalists or whatever, what is a challenge that you see that you face, and how do you overcome it? Like, what would you say to somebody that was going through the same challenge?
I think a big thing right now is, like, if you are wanting to be a journalist, like, you have to, like, fight the fake news type allegations and stuff like that. Like, journalists are not taken as seriously
right.
anymore.
Yeah.
And it's especially hard being a young woman in this industry. Mm-hmm. It's very male-dominated. Not everywhere, but right. in Oklahoma, I mean, feel like it is.
That's like most industries.
Yeah. yeah. And, but it's hard, like, getting your foot in the door mm-hmm. and, like, to be given the opportunities that I have been giving is amazing.
Yeah.
And I was very shocked. But I think just, like, I don't really face any challenges with, like, music journalism.
Yeah.
Just that it's, like, not super popular
right.
and not enough people do it. But I would say when I do political journalism, mm-hmm. like, being as neutral as you can be.
Yeah.
Like, not having a bias is mm-hmm. super important. And I would say even not having a bias in music journalism
yeah.
is important.
Yeah, you want to present what it is as it is and not try to... I guess, okay, so I'm going to ask you. You were at our party on Saturday, Home for the Holidays, featuring Stolen Cable, One Night Only Return. What did you think? Do you want to give us a review of our show or
yeah.
maybe a mini kind of, I don't know. how was it?
I loved it. My first house show I had ever been to was in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
It was on Halloween weekend, and I like absolutely fell in love.
Yeah.
And the second house show I went to was in Colorado. I got mm-hmm. punched in the face. That was like a whole thing.
It
was an accident. Like, he didn't mean to, but he did
okay.
punch me in the face.
Good.
Don't be in the mosh pit when you're 4 or 10. But this was my third house show ever.
Yeah.
So, and I loved the vibes mm-hmm. of it, because the first one I went to was like indie rock, and mm-hmm. they were good, but they weren't put together. And
yeah.
I feel like you guys were super put mm-hmm. together, and you knew what you were doing. And it was interesting to come early and see like the sound
yeah.
check and like the process of how you guys were setting up and
mm-hmm.
everything. I loved that. I
cool.
ate that up. Like, I thought
yeah.
it was amazing. And I love how everyone just like in your band interacted with the crowd
mm-hmm.
or like everyone in your band seems so connected to each other
mm-hmm.
and like you all get along.
Yeah.
And I like being able to sense that vibe.
Yeah.
I've gone to shows where I can tell the band does not get
mm-hmm.
along.
Or it's probably more the case. I mean, that definitely could be the case, but I think it's probably more they just don't know each other as well, because a lot of, especially bands that I've been in recently, in the more recent years, is it's like, I don't even know these people before you come together and, you know, you jam and see if you've, you know, mesh and vibe, and then you start coming and practicing every week, and then you get to know each other. Because we've known each other for, the four of us have been playing together almost less than 2 years. I mean, it'll be 2 years this coming summer whenever we started writing together, so. But yeah, we've definitely become close, as friends, and like Jared the drummer and Dante both play in Dante's band Pineapple Willows together. Well, Jared started playing with them after they met in our band originally. So yeah, they still get, and Jared was playing with the piano player that I was playing with too, and he's an incredible drummer. I think he loves the drum, and like that's I talk about this before, but it's like he breathes, eats, and drums. Like, that's how he lives. I mean,
he was awesome.
Yeah.
And so kind. Everyone in your band was so sweet to me, and I really appreciate that, because I was super nervous.
Yeah.
Especially, knew you, and I was like, what's gonna happen? Yeah. But I had an amazing time.
Well,
so
glad you came out and had fun, because this party was a pretty good turn. I mean, great turnout. Mm-hmm. I think it's and that's always something I worry about. I wasn't worried about it this time, because a lot of people I knew were excited about it, so I knew it was gonna be good. But I'm hoping that I'm pretty sure the next big party like that, we'll probably try to do it at a bigger house or a venue or something.
Because
if I know that many people are going to show up, then of course it'll be justifiably to get something bigger. But there is something to house shows that's appealing, I think, and I've been talking about this a lot with different people recently, just because of the house show. Because I'm worried, it's like, if I had this party at a brewery, would people be as excited? You know, it's like, it's just more, that's more of a normal kind of bar venue, as opposed to, like, there's something about a house that's like, man, I think it might go back to being a kid, you know, and like, it makes you have that, you know, kind of a childlike, you know, nostalgia or something. And
I think really like being exclusive.
Yeah, it's like a more private kind of thing.
Yeah.
And
they like to brag about it. I'm just like, oh, I went to this really cool house show the other night. Yeah. And they're like, how'd you get in? And I was like, so it's like,
that's a good point.
Think that's another thing. Because like, if it's at a venue, anyone can go.
Exactly.
And it's like, well, you don't know who's going to go.
Right.
And when it's a house show, like, a lot of people, most people know each other.
Yeah,
their friends are coming.
Yeah,
they bring other friends. And, like,
that's true.
It's more of an intimate vibe that
that's
I think
something
people enjoy.
That's something why I think that one of the reasons why I like to keep doing them, because it is a very intimate experience. Like, I think that people are drawn to the music, or, like, they're affected by the music more strongly when it's in, you know, a living room, as opposed to a stage, a big stage where you're, you know, much farther away from the band. Because I've experienced that. I went to like a show, it was like they do these kind of like venue, like there's like a website or something, I can't remember what the name of it is, but I knew this guy that traveled. He was like a musician from California, but he would travel the country doing these kind of house shows where they would host, like a host would kind of offer their like really nice house, and they would just be acoustic or whatever. It wasn't like a full band situation, but and that guy, he sold a ton of records at this thing, and like, you know, it's just like, but I think people were just more of like, I bought one of his records, like I never even heard of him before, but he was really good. But it was some kind of a part of that intimacy that, I don't know, makes people want to support them and things like that too. So I try to take some of that, and it's like, okay, what can we sell at the party? You know, that people want to buy. But it's hard for musicians, like, I guess that's kind of a good question maybe I have for you, is like, what's the best merch you think for a band that they could sell, like, just in your opinion as a fan or whatever?
Stickers or tote bags?
Okay, tote bags is a good one. Like, t-shirts is always kind of, you know, I mean, most bands, you're probably gonna get t-shirts eventually, which is good, but
lighters.
Yeah, lighters. I've always wanted to do lighters. I've wanted to do like matchbooks, like with a printed logo on it.
That would be sick.
But I've looked into it, and it's kind of expensive, because you have to order like 4,000 or something.
That
which
is a lot.
But it's, like, relatively cheap if you get, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you're probably paying, like, 10 cents a pack.
Yeah.
But still, that's probably, like, $400 or something. I don't know. And so, if you have the investment, that's something you can do. Lighters probably are a little bit easier to do, because I've seen those. I've never seen anybody with matchbooks besides, like, a bar.
Yeah.
But I always thought that would be cool. I don't know. Matchbooks. Yeah, tote bags, that's a good one. I'm thinking about, I worked in t-shirt printing for a long time as a graphic artist. I never did the printing part, but I wish I did, because like, I could do that in my garage. Like, why am I not doing that right now?
I know a lot of, like, local artists, like Catlock and Stepmom, like,
make their own.
They have a screen printer at home.
Right.
They make their own merch. Like, they thrift the clothes. Mm-hmm. It's super sustainable.
Yeah, because you can also do, like, more unique pieces if you get, like, different colors and different shirts, you know, of all kinds, and print your same logo on all of them and have kind of a variety of things like that. I know that's probably what I'm going to do because, like I said, I work for people that print shirts and like have shops and things like that, so I could get them done, but it's still expensive, and it's more expensive now than it even was 10 years ago when I was in it more heavily. And so it's like, I think I'm just gonna get a press and teach myself to do it. I know everything how to do it, I just like haven't actually ever tried it, which is dumb. I don't know why I didn't. So yeah, I think that's because have you been to the Resonator in Norman? They have like screen printing workshops occasionally that I need to go check one out sometime just to, because they also have equipment too. I'm sure you could use it or whatever.
Oslo's Press might have
too. That's that's one person I need to would talk to about getting shirts done these days is. They know they do a lot of that stuff.
I think caps are really cool too, like baseball caps.
Yeah, those are probably.
They're super expensive.
Yeah, probably, especially because I mean you can get some really nice like embroidered stuff. I mean that'd be cool, but I don't know. I've always wanted to get like just for like me personally, but it's like I want like a jean jacket with like a giant patch of a band logo.
That would be sick.
But one day, yeah. Especially, yeah, like our logo or something for Stolen Cable, that'd be cool. Because we, yeah, I like wearing jean jackets. I got one more question. What's, what upcoming show are you excited about? Like anything, I guess, local or bigger show here? Anything come to mind?
Chapel Rowan. Huh. She'll be at Beer City. She's, I don't know where she's from. She's somewhere in the Midwest,
because
one of her albums is like called Midwest Princess or something like that. But she's a queer artist, and she makes like pop music. And I don't really listen to pop music, but it's like. It's good, and I'm excited.
What was your name again?
Chapel Rowan.
Chapel Rowan. Okay, cool. Yeah, that's Beer City is a great venue too. I think that's probably one of the better, bigger venues locally. I mean, that and the Tower Theater. I think that one was really impressive. So look out for that if anyone wants to go see a big show. I never really cover the bigger shows here. Just I like doing the. People like that I know personally, really, if I can, for sure. Let's see. Okay, well, we have upcoming events for Friday, January 5th, is Robot Save City Comedy Club with James Nim and friends at the Opolis in Norman. James Nim will be performing his last comedy set before a long break. The super talented Anthony Cavazos, Spencer Hicks, Shauna Blake, Natalie Perez, Will Davis will perform, and Jesse Kyle will host that show. The proceeds of the show will benefit Streetlight News, a not-for-profit journalism publication in Oklahoma City. The show will be $10 at the door. Are you familiar with Streetlight News?
No.
I was reading about this earlier. Yeah, I followed them on Instagram. It looks like they're kind of a little indie newspaper or something. But you were telling me Anthony Cavazos was your...
My public speaking professor, yeah.
He's very funny. I'm excited to see him. I've seen him perform. I think he performed at Norman Music Festival last year.
Probably. Didn't he?
Because I went to the Sooner Theater, they had a bunch of comics there. I'm pretty sure I saw him there for the first time. And I saw him at an open mic a few months ago. Very funny. Spencer Hicks, really kind of veteran comic. I took his picture a couple weeks ago at one of the shows. Natalie Perez, one of our friends, and Will Davis will be appearing on our show, possibly in the next episode. So check that out. Robot Safe City always does a great lineup, great community. James Nim also scheduled to come on our show, hopefully in January. So we're really, very excited to talk to those people. And you said you're gonna try to make it to that show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's gonna be fun. I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna bring my camera, so I'll take some good pictures of the performers. Let's see. And next event is gonna be, this is a little bit outside of the greater metro area that we like to talk about, but Comedy Avenue in Lawton is having a comedy show on Sunday, January 7th. It's at Avenue Tattoo Studio in Lawton, Oklahoma. Our friend Andrew Patterson runs that tattoo shop. He's also a comedian. And Nick is going to go out there, and Nick and Andrew are going to do like a new joke type show where they both are on stage together and they're trying out material. I don't know. It's kind of an experiment, I think. But they're having free pizza and drinks. Doors open at 6:32 p.m. That might be a typo. But they're donating all their proceeds, $5 to get in, and all their proceeds go to Ronald McDonald's House. So that'll be a good benefit show also if you're in Lawton. I'm going to go out there and help them do some video and stuff. So I'm excited to see that. And he's apparently done it pretty cool. He's got a comedy club inside the tattoo studio. So he's got a little stage area and all of that, little kind of, you know, chairs and everything. So it'll be fun to check out. I don't even think I've ever been to Lawton. So
I couldn't say.
I'm going to check that out Sunday. So, and that will feature our own Nick Campbell. Let's see. I also want to shout out, I got one also outside of the metro, but it's at the Tulsa Looney Bin Comedy Club. There's a show also on Sunday, January 7th at Looney Bin Comedy Club. It's the You Can't Say That comedy show. If you like edgy, dark shock humor that you don't get offended by a joke, then you can come to You Can't Say That comedy show. 90 plus minutes of dark, dirty jokes and stories brought to you by John Wallen, Carly Marissa, Chandler Watson, and Julie Drake. Hosted by David Bates. This is not a family-friendly comedy show, so don't bring the kids. Tickets are $12 online and $15 at the door. This is at the Looney Bin in Tulsa. There used to be a Looney Bin in Oklahoma City that closed down last year. But the Looney Bin in Tulsa is still going strong. So if you're in Tulsa, check that out. These are all friends of ours in the comedy community. Julie Drake has been on this show. John Wallen also on this show. Give them a shout out because we love you guys and we hope you have a great show out there. I would make it, but I'm going to be in Lawton. So, and it's in Tulsa. I don't get to Tulsa too often, although I love it. Have you been to Tulsa?
Yeah.
For music? It's like a great music.
Kind of for music. I went for Sunny Days Mural Festival. And
okay,
they had
yeah.
Performers there. So.
Yeah, I've always. Do they still do that? Was that last year?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
They do it summer. Once a year.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And I remember I followed them, I think, because I'm always interested in festivals. Like, I'm keeping track of them because if you're a band, you have to apply for those like 6 months in advance, mm-hmm. usually. So I'll have to look into that one and see if I can apply to this coming
year. I think it's
year.
Only women artists.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. Like, I had a woman artist. anyways. But that's good to know. Anyways, yeah, I'll have to. Oh, that was in Tulsa, you said, right? Mm. I'll have to maybe check that out this year. Anyways, but Tulsa's, yeah, it's great for music. I've played out there a couple of times. I played at Sound Pony, that's next to Kane's Ballroom. That was a really fun venue, cool bar. And it was just packed. I mean, no, we were from here. Nobody knew who we were, and that place was packed. Like,
that's awesome.
And that's like, you don't have to do anything for people to show up. And that's why I like Tulsa. I think that we have a lot to learn from Tulsa, I guess, maybe. And I don't know. They just appreciate the music out there, I feel like. And that's it. We did it. Thanks, Kenna, for coming on our show. And we were so excited to work with you and do some music reviews and album or concert reviews and things like that. I'm hoping that we can go to some shows, like, you know, maybe a couple times a month you can come over and talk about the shows you've been to that month, or you and I can go to shows and I can take photos and you can write the report.
Yeah, that would be sick.
So look out for that. We're probably going to maybe do a separate show from the main podcast. I don't know. We might incorporate it somehow. But yeah, it's really exciting. So thank you for coming and being a part of this with us.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So that's it. Bye.
Bye.
You don't have a good ending. I've got a good little intro kind of deal, but...